there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Hello and welcome to New Hope for Today. The Advent season we celebrate goes back many centuries. It starts four Sundays before Christmas and is a time when Christians around the world prepare their hearts, remembering the prophecies of Scripture that prepared the world for the coming of the King, God incarnate. We celebrate the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, but also the coming of Christ in our hearts, and we look forward to our King coming yet again. Let's hear Pastor Tom's sermon on the King of Hope.
Have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
And when we look forward to the coming of Christ, when we look forward to Advent, when we look forward to His kingship in our lives, we have no choice but to thrive. And so let's hear now the Word of God in Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 12. Hear now the Word of God. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that by your indwelling, by your power, Lord, that you give us the knowledge and wisdom to learn more about this King to come, Jesus, who is in our lives. Make clear your word to our hearts, our minds, our souls today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We celebrate Advent. The word Advent means the coming or arrival of something or someone important or worthy of note. And that's what Advent is all about. Four Sundays before Christmas Eve, before Christmas Day, we celebrate the coming of Christ in really four kind of different ways. And throughout history, there's been many different ways that this has been expressed. Typically, we have the four candles, and the purple or the navy blue, whichever it is, represents royalty. The pink candle represents the joy of Christ, and obviously the white candle represents Jesus. And as we get closer and closer, another candle is lit until we get four of them lit, and the fifth one, and the Christ candle, and we celebrate the presence of God who has come from above, the incarnate God. And so for Christians, the Advent season encompasses really four levels of expectation of the arrival of the King. That we remember, we look back and we remember the prophetic announcements of the Messiah to come that were contained in the Old Testament. That's number one. Number two, we know the King who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Number three, we acknowledge the King who we follow today. And number four, we long for Christ to come again and reign forever. So Advent is really kind of, there's four aspects to it as we approach Christmas time. And we're waiting for a king. When you think of worldly kings, you think of people who have followers. I mean, there's really kind of one or two kings, you know. You're either a bad king who dictates over the people, or you're a good king who people want to follow, who want to be around. And there's plenty of examples of both throughout time. We usually follow a king or someone because they have a plan, and we buy into the plan, and we follow them. Typically, this king or this person may be adored in such a way because they're a beneficent leader, they're helpful. I'm not going to say worship, but you know, in the real world, we do adore good leaders, it seems like. And kings often gave the people hope. They often gave them love. They often gave them joy and peace. Of all the kings that existed, Jesus was the hope of all who believe. His followers or his disciples who were ones who followed his plan, who adore him, who find joy and love and peace under his reign. And so the Old Testament spoke of the hope of the world to come, the Messiah who would restore hearts to the Father. That's what the Anointed One was all about. HaMashiach in Hebrew, Messiah. And throughout the Old Testament, the coming of Messiah is revealed. It's first revealed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The king to come would be from the tribe of Judah later on in Genesis from the piece that we just read, scripture, Genesis 49:10, the scepter, the scepter in Genesis 49:10 will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Speaking of Jesus to come, who would be from the line of Judah, and indeed he was. The prophet Daniel, later on, spoke of the God of heaven who will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And on and on and on, all through the Old Testament. It is building up the hope of Israel, the people of God, for this king to come. This king who would set all things right. Not in a worldly point of view, but in a spiritual one. And so, we know the king who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The Word of God was made flesh, we read in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so there was this miraculous virgin birth of the king. And he was not born with all of the fanfare that we would associate with a king. You know, not long ago, Prince William and the Duchess Kate, right? The birth of their son, Prince George. I mean, that was on the news everywhere. Lots of fanfare, lots of expectation, lots of anticipation of this son that they would have. And all through history, kings were born in such a way. except this King of Kings. You know, leave it to God to do something just totally opposite of what the world thinks. You see, this king was born of a young peasant girl and a stepfather carpenter from Nazareth, kind of a lowly place. He was born under unscrupulous circumstances, right? The people around were wondering how'd she get pregnant, and was Joseph doing something illicit? You know, they stoned people back then for those sorts of things. And when she was coming to term, you know, in her presence, she didn't have a chariot that carried her to a doctor anywhere. No, she was traveling on a donkey for roughly 60 miles in desert paths to get to Bethlehem. Ready basically any time to give birth. Can you imagine that, ladies? I mean, and not only that, he wasn't born in a palace. He was born likely in a cave carved in the side of a hill that housed the animals because there was no room at the inn, even for a young lady who was ready to give birth. Think about that. No one was willing to take her in, go sleep with the animals. And not only that, but this baby, when he was born, was put in a manger. And you all know what a manger is. It's a feeding trough for animals. And so as this young boy grew up under these dysfunctional circumstances, you know, I suppose he could have looked back and thought about his life and thought about how bad it was and how he was born in this way and why his parents didn't do this or didn't do that. And, you know, he has to be a carpenter now in Nazareth and learn on it. But no, Jesus had another plan, the plan of his Father in heaven. And so when he became of age, he went to John the Baptist to get baptized. And he started his ministry. Now, this was the King of Kings who was walking the face of this earth. And some of the first things that Jesus would do and some of the first things that he would say when he reached those that he would pick and choose, he said, "Come, follow me." So this Jesus had followers. He somehow endeared himself to them, or their hearts were changed in such a way that they couldn't help but to see the majesty of this carpenter from Nazareth. And some willingly and some kind of unwillingly, you know, stepped out from their profession, from their jobs, and they followed Jesus. And it started out with one, with two, with three, with 10, with 12 now. And we get to the Sermon on the Mount. We get to the preachings that he had by the Sea of Galilee. And there's 5,000 people there. It was a king. And not only that, he wasn't just a king that had a bunch of rules and regulations where people should follow. He was a king, not that he didn't have that, because he called for obedience of his disciples, but he was a king that exhibited a servant attitude. He was a servant king. He helped people. He gave hope to his disciples, and they found joy, and they found love, and they found peace with him. Jesus followed the plan of his Father. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that," what? "He gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." In one sentence, that is the plan of the Father. The King followed. You see, Jesus was a hero. He was a king who was a hero. He saved those who believe. He died for you. He conquered death for you. He ascended into heaven. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, our King. And so we Christians today follow a heavenly King. He is the one who has called you to follow him. He has spoken to your hearts and drawn you to himself. He gives you hope as you follow God's plan of reconciliation. And you know that Christ lives in you, right? This is not a plan that anybody else would have thought up. Not at all. And so the Spirit of Christ lives in us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we see that he did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of love and power and self-discipline. That we are children of the living God, following the King of Kings, the King of the universe. And you are called to follow God's plan for your life as Jesus followed his Father's. In other words, you serve, you love, you give joy, you give peace to those around you as you offer them the life-giving word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, in John 10:10, Jesus changes everything in lives. And not just in small ways, but in big ways. He says in John 10:10 that I came to give you life, that you may have it more abundantly, that you may thrive in the King's presence, that you may go on an adventure with this great hero King, walking the face of this earth, seeing where God is alive and serving him. Is it all perfect today, this King that we follow? No. But we already serve the King of Kings who will come again. And we will dwell with him forever. Now that's my King. Is that your King?
The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Mike, I never get tired of that. Oh, that is just so awesome, but that's the King that we serve. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have just given us this great opportunity, Lord. You have called us to yourself, something that we just can't even wrap our hands around or quite comprehend the fullness of it, Lord. And we serve the living King. And so let us approach life with boldness. Let us approach life with the limitless power that you give us, this abundant life, this ability to thrive in the midst of any and all situations, Lord, that you present us each day. You are the one that gives us strength. You are the one that gives us the words. You are the one that gives us wisdom and knowledge. May our focus be forever on you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children say, amen.
That is the King we serve, and we were meant to thrive. If you liked the last sermon segment from the Reverend S.M. Lockridge, log on to our website at newhopechurcheco.org to hear the full YouTube version of That's My King. I promise you will enjoy it. We also want to invite you to our free annual Christmas concert on Saturday, December 20th at 7 p.m. here at New Hope Church ECO. It's at 22 Cortez Drive in Washington, Pennsylvania. Check out our website for more information. We hope you've been enjoying our radio ministry. Please go to our website if you want a replay and look at additional resources. Until next week, God bless you.
We were made to thrive.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.